community to edify the church here and, you know, do those benevolent works. So today we have Brother Kyle, who is here with us to try out and that opportunity. Brother Kyle is, you know, married. He's got his wife here, Christina, with him, and they have two children. Oldest is Marie. She's about 3 years old, and KJ is about 1.5. He graduated from the Florida School of Preaching, and he is a very, I'm going to say he's a very energetic, very enthusiastic, zealous brother. I think you'll see that in his sermon today. He has been at the Camdenton Church of Christ up to this point. But they said he is interested in coming here and working with us here. He is involved, very, very much involved in the community. He's a lot of Bible studies that he has set up and done there in the community and for the members of the church. Does a lot of community work there with the nursing home and the hospital, the homeless shelters, and the domestic violence centers there. So we're glad to have you here, Kyle. And without cutting any more into your sermon this morning, we'll ask you to come forward and preach to us from God's Word.
If you would, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. That is Matthew chapter 13. As you are turning your Bibles there, whenever we begin out in our lives, we are born grown men. No, that'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Being born a grown person. But when we consider, the birth of a child, we know that it's a child, it's an infant. The baby has a clean slate, you know. There's nothing that is pre-programmed in that baby, such as morals and so on. So what does that indicate? That there has to be growth, right, in this baby's life? Matthew chapter 13, we learn about a seed. If I can get my clicker to work. Aha. Matthew chapter 13, we learn about a seed, and that the seed, if it falls upon a soil that doesn't benefit the seed will not grow. Not only that, we learn that the seed has to sprout, the seed has to grow. As we are considering this, note what the text says, Matthew 13, 19 through 21. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and with joy receives it. Yet he has no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. First, let us understand that we can be in danger of spiritual immaturity. As God's children, we are required by the gospel to grow, to pray, to learn more about God, to have humility and love and meekness. We wouldn't know about these things unless it was for God's word, and therefore, we must give an effort in that growth. Since we are considering spiritual growth, we must also understand that there are dangers to a person who is spiritually immature. Spiritually immature, including myself. When those dangers approach ourselves, approach our lives, we must then go to God's word for help and for strength. Matthew 13, 19 through 21 tells us that when one hears the gospel, there is a great danger of that gospel being ripped and or pulled, snatched from their heart. The reason for this is the lack of understanding that an individual may have. Now, the word ignorant in the text, reflects the idea of a lack of understanding. That's all it means. It's not used as an insult or anything as such. It simply means a person without a full knowledge of understanding. When a person has begun a great walk with God, there is a great danger of falling away as a result of the gospel being pulled from their heart. And we must all consider this. A Christian, first of all, may backslide from the Lord. The reason why there may be this danger of spiritual immaturity is one great sign, and that is when a person starts to back away and slide away from God. Once we are saved, we are not always saved. That is not what the Bible teaches. We must understand that the Bible teaches that we have an opportunity to be saved, and then we must continuously check in with God, study His Word. When we choose to follow after God, is it for ourselves? Is it for God? Is it for someone else? Let us think about the different soils with that implication. Number one, there may be someone that has a stony heart. There may be someone who has no root in himself. There may be someone who has fertile soil. However, I do not know the hearts of men, only God does. Therefore, what is the solution? Well, we have to first plant the seed, right? Preach the gospel. Tell people, you know what? Jesus loves you and He died for you on the cross. Can I tell you more about Him? If there's an opportunity for us to do this, then why not choose to do so? Not just to people who have never heard about God, but even to our brothers and sisters that are sitting around us this morning. If we know that there is someone that we're going to go to heaven with who is suffering, why not reach out to them and help them in that area of spiritual immaturity? If that person is struggling with learning how to pray, learning how to study, and so on, why not take the effort to try to help any way we can? The principle can apply to all ages and stages of a person during their walk with Christ. Just because a person may be 90 years old, they do not know all of God's Word. Just because a person may be 30 years old, doesn't mean he knows all of God's Word, and so on. The point is this, we're all at a different walk in our lives. There may be a brother and or sister that is at a greater distance of a walk towards eternity than a young lady. And maybe she can help that young lady by teaching her how to become mature spiritually in Christ. How is it, however, that one can be a Christian for so many years and never know the plan of salvation? How can it be that you have a person who has been in the church their entire life, so to speak, and they do not know how to tell someone how they can have God in their lives? Should we not know how to tell someone about Jesus? Should we not know how to tell someone how to pray, or even quote maybe a Bible verse, even if it's just one that we know? Well, sure. The danger in backsliding from God is when we leave His Word out of our hearts. We must always put God's Word in our hearts. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against Thee, right? God's Word is to be used as a guard against sin. How do you think He's given us a way to escape temptation, right? Consider Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. Galatians 4, 8 through 9. When a person begins to see the old appeal of the sinful world, and believe you me, there is an appeal, we must be there for them. And if we ourselves are that individual, we must go to our brothers and sisters in Christ for help. Brother, I'm being tempted and I need your help. Will you pray with me? Why would that be so hard for us to do? Or, sister, I noticed you need some help. Can I pray with you? How be it then, when you know not God, you did service unto them, which by nature are no gods, but now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Guess what sin does to us? Sin will put us into bondage. You know what's interesting? Is that there are people in this world who unknowingly, ignorantly, without proper understanding, choose to be bound by sin to the evils of this world. Why, you ask? Because you and I have not yet gone to them and told them about Jesus. That's why. So if we haven't even gone, what have we been doing with ourselves? Have we been working on our own souls? Have we been working on our own spiritual maturity? Have we been trying our best to tell each other about Christ? If we lack the understanding in a certain area, let us study together. Let us reason with one another. Is that not what the apostles had done? Even if you go back and you look at Daniel, he had done the same thing in many areas. He reasoned with people, Paul especially. If we choose to follow Christ, you know what we're saying? We are saying that, God, I'm no longer going to follow my way. I'm not following Kyle Smith's way. Guess what I'm going to follow, God? I'm going to follow your Son. So what does that mean? I have to cast all those sins, all those things that I've done behind me. The world has to go behind me, and there can be no more appeal to sin. And I have to work towards that goal. We don't become Christians overnight, of course. But we can begin somewhere, can we not? Consider this. We simply must not be pew warmers. Instead, we must be living and walking Bibles. Why? Because we are God's children. And there are people who need to hear about Christ. Secondly, this morning, a Christian may have divisiveness in their heart. As a result of a Christian that may be backsliding from God, there may be a portion of divisiveness in their heart. The Bible teaches extensively on this, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 3 through 9. Paul addressed divisions in the letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth. As a result of that, if there are any individuals who are divisive and destructive in the body of Christ, it must be made known. If there are people that are amongst us as Christians, and we know that they are divisive, it must be made known to the brethren. That way there be no divisions. Is Christ divided? Absolutely not. So then why must there be individuals who have a divisive heart? Now that's not to say that we attack that person, but we can go and help them, can't we? We can go to them and encourage them and pray for them and pray with them and ask them to help us too. Because there may be some things that they can help us with. Notice in 1 Corinthians 3, 3 through 9, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I'm of Paul, another I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is this Paul? Who is this Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that waters are one, and every one man or every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Marshfield, you are God's building. We are God's building. We're looking forward to the home that is not made with human hands. Why? Because we earnestly desire to be with God. Is that not what Paul said in Philippians? What's also interesting about this idea is that Paul said, here's the solution for no divisions, okay? You have to remove the carnal mind. The carnal mind is a physical attribute by which we idolize things. In other words, I like this thing, I like that thing, I buy that thing, you buy that thing. Sin is carnal. Sin is worldly. There are a few things to consider when looking at what Paul is saying. These Christians, they were to be fed by the sincere milk of the gospel. However, they were not to be fed only the sincere milk of the gospel. At some point in time, my son is going to want to eat something that is a little bit heavier than milk, is he not? Sure. So how is it then that we can be a Christian for 20, 30 years and never allow God's word to challenge us so that we can grow? You know what? If we do not do this, there will be some issues that we may have. It may be a divisive heart. It may be backsliding. But again, what is the purpose? It's to begin somewhere. And we can do it together. We must never be ashamed to come to our brother and or sister and ask for help with our souls. Why? Because we're all working towards getting to heaven, are we not? Brethren, I'm going to heaven. There's no one in this building that's going to stop me. And I'm going to take as many people as I can with me. Should we not all have that same attitude and encouragement? Sure. Then let us not have any divisiveness in our heart. Let us not be backsliding from God, but forever fighting for that which is true. Instead of having a divisive heart, let us note that in 1 John 4:7, we learn that we can develop a different kind of heart. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So what does that suggest about the world? What does that mean? If the world doesn't know God, then they do not have what? Love. Therefore, whose responsibility is it to take God's love into the world? Is it the world's responsibility? No. Let's go to where? Hebrews 4, Ephesians 4. We learn what? If you look at that text, you learn two core principles in Ephesians. You learn that, number one, the church cannot grow from the outside in. The church can only grow from the inside out. So that means what? We've got a big burden on our shoulders. But it's not a burden we have to carry alone. We can do it together. And Christ is with us. Is he not? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God. True love is understanding and realizing that Jesus gave you and I something that we are not worthy of, and that was his body on the cross. That was his life. Can you imagine how he felt when his creation had begun to punch him in the face? Can you imagine how he felt as his creation spat on him and began to beat him? He probably was sad, right? Probably, yeah. Did he give up? No. Let us look at biblical examples and live by them and understand that we can bring unity to the body of Christ. Instead of being divisive, let us love one another. For love is of God. We can't simply just come on Sundays and warm the seat. We simply must be Christians our whole lives. Christianity is not a fad. It's not a new t-shirt that comes out and you wear it and you take it off. It is a lifestyle that we choose to live, and it is Christ's lifestyle. Thirdly, I'll let you get that verse down. Thirdly, let us understand that a Christian may be unstable in their service to God. Now, this all boils down to a singular idea, and that is spiritual immaturity, okay? That spiritual immaturity has several categories. However, these are three primary categories by which are addressed. We know that Paul addressed it. We know that Christ addressed it. We know that Peter addressed it. Notice Ephesians 4, 10 through 15. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we all have to understand that the world's not going to help me follow God. Only the body of Christ can help me. And what is the body of Christ? It surely ain't this building. This is just wood and plaster. The body of Christ is made up of individuals who love God and who has committed their souls to Christ. Notice that a person, if they are unstable in their service to God, this is not uncommon in the body of Christ today. This is not uncommon. This is a very dangerous area to get into. There may be times when you walk into the building and you think about, oh, I remember brother so-and-so. What's happened to him? I haven't seen him in a long time. When we begin to show a weakness in our souls for our service to God, we need help, brethren. Not only do we need help, but we need each other. Ephesians 4, 10 through 15, and he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature and fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But, here's the but, speaking the love in truth may never grow. Is that what the text says? It says may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. When was the last time you and I sat down with someone and told them about Jesus? When was the last time that you and I sat down maybe with a coworker or a family member because we were showing them that we love their souls? Better yet, when was the last time that we went to a brother in Christ or sister that we knew that was backsliding from God, that may be divisive in their heart, and asked them if they needed help? It begins right here. It begins right now with you and I. Why? Because we are Christians, and they will know we are Christians by our what? Our love. God put into place individuals that would bring us the gospel so that we could become rooted in the faith. Those were prophets all the way to the apostles. Today, we have elders, deacons, teachers, and preachers. That is what we have today. We no longer have prophets and or apostles. The reasoning for that, because the miraculous age has ceased. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 and on. The reason being for that is because we have the perfected and complete Word of God, and therefore, guess what? We have to learn God's Word so that we can grow, so that we can teach the world, and so that we can teach each other. But it begins here, right now. And no, you will not become a Christian overnight. Some people may say, well, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. Or some people may say, well, I'm not perfect, you know, I mess up. We must never use that term, perfect, to sin. Well, I'm not perfect, so I'm going to stumble. That's just an excuse to sin, bud. Can we choose not to sin? Yes. Then let us work toward that goal together. Why? Because we're all going to go to heaven if we are faithful until death. It's all a choice, is it not? Well, sure it is. But it's a choice that we have to make right now. And if we do not choose to make that decision to follow Christ, guess what's going to happen? There may be that moment when he does return. And there may be that moment when it will be too late. As we are considering Ephesians 4, 10 through 15, God gave us leadership to prevent spiritual immaturity. That's what elderships are for. That's what gospel preachers are for. Teachers are for. Bible class teachers are for. Teaching the little ones from the time that they can barely speak all the way till now, probably. Who knows? But there were some things that were set in place. Consider this. That if we had no structure given to us by God, where would we stand? Well, we couldn't because we have no structure. However, because of the lack of structure, we will fall. Where there are no elders, there is danger. Where there are no gospel preachers, there is danger. Why? There has to be someone to share the gospel. Ultimately, guess what? Where there are no Christians, there is danger. Before that person's an elder, they're a Christian first. Before that person's a Bible class teacher, she and or he is a Christian first. Are we working towards that goal? The purpose for the structure is for edification, unity of the faith, so that we are no more children tossed to and fro with every type of false teaching. Therefore, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in Christ in all things and get rid of the carnal mind. The key to leaving the immature attitude behind is to grow in Christ by learning more about Him and His Word. This should not discourage us, but instead help us to grow this morning. James 1, 6 through 8. We will never grow out of the idea of immaturity if we waver between sin and God. For example, in Revelation chapter 2, we learn about the church at Laodicea, right? Remember, what did the messenger say? What did Christ say? Laodicea, you're lukewarm, therefore I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why did he say that? Interestingly, Laodicea lived at the basin of a mountain, and at the top of the mountain, there was a natural spring. The Laodiceans then realized, hey, we can funnel hot water from the hot springs down to our homes. Thus, they built a plumbing system from the top of the mountain down to their homes. However, by the time the water got to their homes, what temperature do you think it was? Lukewarm. Jesus took something that these people were familiar with and applied it to their souls. We likewise can have that same application. Are our souls lukewarm? Notice James 1, 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways, all. Why? Because of the spiritual immaturity that has been guarded in his heart, or her heart, or my heart. And if we realize we are spiritually immature, let us push away that worldly pride and admit that we can help each other. If I am lacking, then I need to come to you for help. Likewise, you to me. We can do this together. We don't have to do it alone. And it can begin today. We only have one chance right now to serve God. So why not choose to do it to the best of our abilities? Do we not want to give all to God? Well, people say, well, sure, I want to give everything to God. Well, if we have not put Christ in our lives, guess what? We can't give anything to God, first of all. Why? Because we do not have any type of communication with the Creator of the universe. You know, if you and I were the only two people on this earth, or if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would have come just to die for you alone. Isn't that amazing? And that is exactly what he did. He allowed the created to beat him, to spit in his face, immature children to mock him. Remember when they were hitting him and they said, prophesy unto us, who hit you? Immature children crucified our Lord. Let us reflect upon that and know that we can live faithfully until death because Jesus gives us the greatest example of all. The question is, are we willing to put him on in baptism this morning? There may never be another chance that we have to come back here, guys. There may never be another opportunity that we can put Christ on. Mark 16, 16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Romans 6, 4 tells us, Romans 6, 4 tells us that we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should all walk in newness of life. If we are not a Christian this morning, then 2 minutes from now may be too late. And when Christ returns, I am going home. Are we able all to say the same thing? Are we all going home when Christ returns? I may not be able to even finish what I'm trying to say this morning, and Christ will come. Are we excited about it? Well, we should be. Why? Anybody who is a Christian should always be excited to be ready to go home. Thus, we must avoid spiritual immaturity and try our best not to be pew warmers, but instead soul teachers, and bring people to Christ as a means of the gospel. Again, The dangers of spiritual immaturity are: a Christian may backslide from the Lord, a Christian may have divisiveness in their heart, and a Christian may be unstable in their service to God. If you are said such individual who is a Christian, and you have been struggling, you have slid from God, and you need help, we are here to help you. We together will rally around you and encourage you together. You're not alone in this, because there are times where we all struggle, including myself. If we can help you, please let us. And or if there is anyone here this morning and you've never put Christ on in baptism, please consider this. Every stripe that was put on him was for me and you. Every punch that was dealt to him was for me and you. Every spit to the face was for me and you. And as he said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Again, little immature children put our Lord to death. The same applies to those who are not God's children. They're just little immature children who are running around in the darkness continuously. And it's up to you and I to help them so that we can help each other, so that we all can go to heaven. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, please consider doing just that this morning. Please consider it. Because we may never, ever, ever have another chance to do it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. If you walk up front and you want to put Christ on in baptism, no one's going to point fingers at you and laugh. Instead, we are going to rejoice and love you evermore. So if there's anyone here this morning, you're in need of baptism, and you're in need of help and encouragement, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.